Hey, fellow Warzone listeners. My name is Zach Camps. If I'm not golfing or slinging hands of Monster, I'm usually thinking about Dynasty Fantasy Football. A couple months back, I joined the Patreon just to take my Dynasty passion to the next level. And I'll tell you what, well, let's just say there's writer downers for days in the Patreon. As a member, you get access to the bonus pod where the guys take the filter off and talk about a wide variety of topics that maybe they won't cover on the normal show. You also get access to Memphis and Jerry for one-on-one advice, personal dynasty dilemmas. They'll tackle them for you, help you out with it. You just don't get that anywhere else. But I'd say my favorite part about the Patreon is the group chat. Tell you what, these guys are some excellent minds, tons of fun. The fire in there is amazing. Great platform to post trade questions, debate rookie values, share insight, interact with some cool people from across the globe. You know, shout out to those guys in Australia. They're blowing my phone up all the time. You know, the best part is there's no Twitter trolls or Facebook trolls arguing about stuff they don't know anything about. So if you want to enjoy your Dynasty experience even more, win those championships, pause the podcast right now, sign up, and you can thank me later in the group chat.
Hello, neighbor, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. It is your boy. It is Memphis at DFF Memphis. And today we're going to be talking to a gentleman named Mike Casper. And we're going to get into his startup 12-team Devy Superflex tight end premium league hosted on the Sleeper platform. For those of you that are like, wait a minute, Sleeper has Devy? Not really. So what this particular league does is they have all of your 2020 active players, for lack of a better term. You know, the rookie draft has been concluded. We talk about some of that in the show. The commissioner of this league keeps like a Google Doc of the devies that are owned in this league. Sleeper does not have the function that my football league, MFL, has, to where you can create custom players and add them in there. My one devy league, that's what we do. So you can actually see each player on the roster. Feels like a lot of work for the commissioner. So God bless the commissioner of Mike's Devy League. We're going to jump into all that here in a second. Just want to do a little bit of housekeeping before we bring Mike in. Make sure to check out the Dynasty Warzone. And I know that you guys have been. So thank you again for continuing to check out the Warzone. You can find that anywhere where you find this fine Dynasty Happy Hour product. On Wednesday's show, we broke down the 10 biggest moves of the NFL offseason. We do touch on them from a dynasty standpoint, but really just a fun show. There is, like I said, some dynasty talk and some value talk, but really just ranking them 10 down to 1 as we saw the biggest moves really on the offensive side of the ball. We didn't really talk any IDP, anything like that. Spoiler alert, there is one non-rosterable trade that we had a pretty big impact. So we have that in there. Again, that's the Dynasty Warzone. And then on Friday, if you're listening to this contractor show on Friday, you will notice that the Dynasty Warzone has a show today as well. We call that the three-team parlay. That's where we're breaking down a top 11-point scoring team, a middle 10, and a bottom 11-point scoring team from last year, and preparing you with each of those rosters for this upcoming season that dropped on Friday today. You can follow me and the shows at a lot of places. You can follow the Warzone on both Instagram and Twitter at Dynasty Warzone. You can follow me at DFF Memphis. And as you heard, the Patreon. The Patreon is about, I guess, camaraderie. We continue to add new people. We just fired up the third patron league over at the Dynasty Warzone Patreon. Again, patreon.com/DynastyWarzone. I still think for as cheap as it is, if you can just drink $1 McDonald's coffee for a couple of days a month, it will pay for itself. And you will find that the information you get not only from myself, the one-on-one service, my co-host Jerry, but all the other Patreons in the group chat. It's been a really good time, and we continue to add more people. So you're more than welcome. Again, patreon.com/DynastyWarzone. Now, last thing before I bring in Mike, I absolutely promise. I've tried to be very clear on my thoughts of what's going on in the nation from the riots and protest in response to the tragic passing of Mr. Floyd. I don't know what that's like. I am a Caucasian dude, a white dude. I grew up in the suburbs. I can't pretend to know what that's like. But what I am doing is instead of, you know, just sending thoughts and prayers, I am encouraging everyone who is 18 years of age or older listening to this show to prepare yourself to vote. In my state of Indiana this past Tuesday, we had our primary, and we are ready for the November 3rd election here in the state of Indiana, and it's a presidential year here in the United States. Get ready. Do your research. Whatever it is, and start local. That's where the most impact can be made. As much effort and work as you put into your dynasty and fantasy football rosters, you should put into knowing your local candidates. Who is supporting change? Who is going to support all of our neighbors? Not just you and people like you, but everybody. Black, brown, green, red, purple, neon pink, I don't care. You know, who is going to make the most change to do the most good where you live? That's what we can do in 2020, as well as the presidential election. In a couple of years, some states will have governor races as well as senatorial races. Be prepared to vote in those too. And then in 2024, you'll be prepared to vote again. Vote. It is the single greatest privilege we have as United States citizens. Now, to our Australians, we have a lot of Australian folks who listen to this. I don't know what your political system is, but if you have the right to vote, damn it, do it. Do it. That is how change happens. And people say, well, my vote doesn't matter. That's BS, man. I'm not going to curse on this show. This show does not carry an E for explicit language, so I'm not going to curse on this show. But I am going to tell you that's BS. If Donald Trump can get elected as president of this country, anyone can be voted in. But it starts with us. It starts with us doing our research and exercising our right to vote. If you don't vote, you can't complain. If you don't vote, you can't make a difference. And we're going to be the generation that makes a difference. So I don't want to beleaguer the point. I covered my thoughts, my co-host covered his thoughts on some Dynasty Warzone shows, including our Patreon. I don't want to continue to drag this out. This is a fantasy football podcast. I hope you come here to get away from the wildness and the wackiness of the real world, but I wanted to make sure I put that out there. Vote. It is oh so important. But with all that said, I thank you for tuning in. I'm going to grab Mike, man, and we're going to get into this 12-team Devy Superflex tight end premium. Pretty good roster, a couple of tweaks here or there, and then just some good player information for you. I thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back here next week with another edition of the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Mike, and we'll talk again real soon. Thanks, guys. Are you looking for a reminder of your fantasy football greatness? Are you looking for something to set your league apart from those dime a dozen jabroni leagues out there? Then head over to TrophySmack.com and hook your league up with the best trophies in the game today. And not only will you get the best trophies in the game today, you can get a free championship ring up to a $59.99 value by entering in the promo code DWZRING. You pick out your trophy, which one do you like? You put it in the cart, you add the ring to the cart, you add the promo code DWZRING, makes the ring free, and your league is now a step above the league down the street. So if you're looking for the best, you want to be the best in the game, you want to have the best league in town, go over to TrophySmack.com, get that trophy, get that ring, use that code DWZRING, and let's have a big season. And here he is. His name is Mike, and he is going to tell us about his 12-team Devy League. Mike, welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor.
Hey, thanks for having me. This has been a long time coming. I've been pretty excited to do this.
Yeah, you got in on that first wave. You were one of the guys that reached out initially and was like, man, I really want to do this. And I think at first you were a little, I'll be honest, I was too. I was not expecting to have that many people reach out that quickly about getting in. But here we are, episode number 8, and you're here. So this is a 12-team Devi. Tell me a little bit about this league, a little bit about your scoring format, the super flex aspect of it, tight end premium. Just give me all the particulars.
Yeah, so it's a 12-team league, standard PPR, 1.5. Tight end premium. You got to start 10, so one QB, two RB, two wide receivers, one tight end, three flex, one super flex, and then you got a super long bench of 21 folks, a 5-person taxi, but there was no limit on Devi players because placeholders were included in the draft. We had our startup draft, I want to say in March or the end of February, and that was a really long draft. I want to say it took almost a month to get it done. So that's kind of the standard scoring of it as far as that goes.
Okay. And how, I mean, you can, we're going to get into your actual roster. Not a whole lot of Devis on your particular team. What was your strategy as you were going through this startup back in late February, early March?
So I kind of wanted to do something a little different because I've only been in Dynasty for about 3 years. And if you looked at my first, I would say 4 startup drafts, you would probably want to pull your hair out. My teams don't look like those anymore because I think I've learned the trade value and the value of trading and built some pretty strong contending teams. But what I'd done in my recent Superflex leagues has been building around at least 1 or 2 stud QBs, getting one of those in the first 2 rounds. And in this league, I kind of wanted to see what happened when I built a team that had a lot older quarterbacks, but a lot younger, more position players, and see, I mean, we'll see how this year's goes. Cause I think I built a strong team, but if I can replenish that quarterback room, through trading, or if that's something, you know, kind of why I'm here tonight is to ask you is, hey, do you think this is something I need to maybe take care of before the season starts?
No, I think you're in pretty good shape. We're going to dive deeper into your roster here in just a minute. My next question, as always, is what is the activity level of this league? Hyperactive, moderate, or is it a cold fish? You would say right now it's a cold fish, but during the startup rookie and Devi draft, they were pretty hopping. I would say right now, with everything that's gone on, not only in fantasy football and the NFL in general, but with just society between COVID and everything that's been going on recently, a lot of my leagues are like that. So I don't think I would take that as necessarily a negative sign. I think you'll start to see some action once camps get going. From everything I can tell, the first real action of the NFL season will come around the end of July when teams pull together camp. So I think that would be your next big window of activities. My next question is there a group chat, and how active is the chat? And you said it's on Sleeper. So
yeah, so it's got like the league chat feature pretty much, but there's no kind of separate group chat there. Like I said, though, everyone was pretty active during the startup and the Devi draft and the rookie draft. And I think they're just like you said, they're just kind of taking a little break right now. But this was a smart group of dudes, and they were a little intimidating, to be honest. Sometimes the way they would talk about my Devi picks when I'm not as experienced in Devi. So I was a little intimidated at first, but I still think I built a pretty good roster. So.
You definitely have a contend now roster. One thing I will say about Devi is not my strongest suit. You know, if I were a doctor, I would consider myself more of a general practitioner as it relates to fantasy football, specializing in dynasty. But even doctors have doctors and go to specialists. You know, the guys that I rely on for Devi are like guys like Kane Fasel, Ray Garvin, a.k.a. Ray GQ, Nick Whalen, mm-hmm. Garrett Price. Those 4 guys I've had a lot on my other podcast, The Dynasty Warzone. Those are the guys that I turn to. I had a Devi draft. I'm in one Devi league. I believe in like the Herm Edwards. You hear him like the rule of one, like one big, mm-hmm. one big house, one big car, one piece of jewelry. As it relates to me, one Devi league. I like to have the I like to have the experience, but I put so much effort, at least I try to, into my family, my job, everything, you know, Dynasty Fantasy Football, my podcast, is just that at some point you have to prune something back. And I don't have that much time to invest in the college players right now. So I really turned to experts. So if you're a fellow Devy player who's listening right now, those are my go-tos. If you didn't catch all that, you can either rewind it or you can write this down. Kane Fasel, at Devy Kane on Twitter. Ray Garvin, who can be found at RayGQ. Nick Whalen, who can be found at Nick Whalen _. And then at Garrett Price. And no, I'm sorry, it's at Dynasty Price. That's Garrett Price from the Dynasty Nerds. Those are my four. Oh, and Shane Hallam, at Shane P. Hallam. Those are my my Devy guy. Shane Hallam is such a degenerate. He has a 2021, 2022, and he's working on a 2023 7-round NFL mock draft. I'm talking defensive players, kickers. What? Yeah.
How
yeah.
can you even do that?
It's a damn good question, but he was scary accurate in 2020. And I mean scary accurate. You can check that out, but enough about that. Those are my Devy guys. You're going to mix those in. Why are you looking for the help of the contractor? You put, you've got 3 to 5 years of experience and you just want a little help, some tips, some best practices. So you're a pretty experienced player, man.
Yeah. I mean, I sadly haven't brought home a championship, but I started Dynasty 3 years ago and I had teams like Jerick McKinnon was my second round pick, I remember. And I had traded him. I've traded him away long since then and kind of tore it down and built it up and actually made it to the championship in that league last year and then lost in the championship because of the Colts defense doing really awesome. But I wouldn't consider myself a trade addict. I really like to trade and build super strong teams. And so I've now inflated my dynasty teams from 1 to I have 16 right now that I'm managing. And I've got some that really I don't need to do a whole lot with right now. But this is one that was kind of sticking out to me because I was so new to the format. I just wanted another set of eyes on this to see what they thought, since it was so different from how I've built almost all of my other dynasty rosters.
All right, well, let's without any further ado, let's just jump into this thing. And this team's pretty well rounded. Normally, I like to save what I consider the best position group for last, but I think you're pretty even across the board. Now, this is obviously super flex. How many roster spots did you say again?
So it's 10 starting spots and then there's 21 on the bench and then 5 taxis. So gosh, that's
36.
So yeah, that's 36.
36 yeah. In total. And you've got a pretty fair roster. Let's just go quarterbacks. You got Drew Brees. I love it. Drew Brees, at least going to give you 2020. I don't know about 2021. He did sign that futures contract with NBC. I could see him in the booth with Al Michaels before you know it. A guy that I love and starting to get a lot of steam again in the dynasty and fantasy circle is Matt Stafford, only 32. If I have to hear one more time that he was on pace for 5,000 yards passing and 38 touchdowns last year, I may throw myself out the basement window. You got Cam Newton. You got Nick Foles. You have a guy that I'm very intrigued by in P.J. Walker. Josh Rosen, Andrew Luck, Ryan Fitzmagic, and then on your taxi, you've got Mr. Justin Herbert. So tell me about this group. What do you like about it? What are you looking forward to building around, and what makes you nervous?
So same with Stafford. I've done, I think, 7 or 8 startups since the whole COVID thing started, and I would have to say Stafford is on, I think, all of those teams but one. He's kind of someone I've been wanting to build around when you have a coaching staff in Detroit that really has to prove something. And I think offenses that move the ball and score points sell a lot more tickets and get a lot more eyes on what's going on, as opposed to, you know, the defense maybe that Matt Patricia wants to run. So I think Stafford's going to have a great opportunity to air it out, to Galladay and Swift now in the backfield. I think it's really going to give them a good dynamic, especially with Hockenson back in the mix too, coming back from injury. So he was kind of the core quarterback I kind of want to stick there. And the other ones, I just kind of want to see what happens. I'm not moving Newton anywhere until he signs. And honestly, I feel like with these guys, having Stafford, Breeze, Foles, even Fitzpatrick, you know, those are four guys I feel like I can start this year, you know, no problem, even if Cam gets a backup gig. And then I got Herbert, and I also have Jalen Hurts. I'm not sure if you saw that too. He's on my taxi squad too. So I feel like I've got some of those backup guys that even if they don't get on the field this year, next year, I feel like they can contribute quite a bit.
Well, a couple of good things you have going, because this is a contend now roster. I do like Justin Herbert. I don't know that he contributes right away. I've said this a lot, so I don't want to overstate it, but you know, with the whole COVID situation, I don't know how many of the rookie quarterbacks are going to jump in right away. Good thing for you is that you have two early buys. If we're looking right now, more of like a 2020 aspect and not the future, Breeze and Stafford have early bye weeks in this season. One's week 5 and one is week 6. So you may be able to get Fitzpatrick to cover those two before Tua takes over in Miami. And I think Miami's a team that wants to win. I think Brian Flores feels like, you know, they're going to roll into the season with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And if they're out of it by maybe week 6 or 7, I think then you'll see Tua. But with the familiarity of the Chan Gailey offense and Ryan Fitzmagic being the veteran, knowing the offensive pieces with Preston Williams coming back from the ACL and Devontae Parker and Gesicki, I think you're going to see the veteran at the helm. So that'll cover your bye weeks, and that will give you more than enough time to see what Justin Herbert has once he gets on the field. I don't think Hurts is really going to be much of a thing. Hurts would be like the one guy that I would be looking to talk to the Carson Wentz owner. Maybe he's looking for a little insurance. I don't know what you paid for him, because you obviously got him in your rookie draft, but he's a guy with as deep as you are at quarterback. He's a guy that I wouldn't mind looking at. Or you could also do the opposite. You could also take a potential of like a Breeze and Herbert and maybe package up and get a Wentz. I don't know. That would be something to think about. But I think if you're looking to win and win now, I think Breeze is going to score as much, if not more, than Wentz. But something to think about down the road. A couple other quarterbacks I want to talk about. Nick Foles. I still think Mitch Trubisky is going to be the starter, at least early, in Chicago. You have to. Ryan Pace, the GM in Chicago, he's up against the wall. He gave up a lot of draft capital to go get Khalil Mack, and he gave up draft capital to go up, I think it was one spot, to get Mitch Trubisky, and he needs a hit. He needs something to hit. So I think you're going to see Mitch at least the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. And they could break out the old vaudevillian Kane and pull him off the stage a little bit sooner rather than later. Foles is someone I would be looking to ship off to the Trubisky owner. Maybe that person's a little bit weak at quarterback, and he would be one that I think you could afford to lose. So something to keep an eye on. Andrew Luck, I think if he doesn't come out of retirement by August, just cut him. You know, pick up a more upside player. And if you want to gamble with Andrew Luck again, you know, this time next year, just pick him up off of waivers. It's a move that I like doing, because if Gronk can come back and, you know, Jason Witten can come back, Andrew Luck's a little bit of a more of a different cat, so he may never come back, but it sure would be nice to have him on your roster if he does. But don't want to waste too much time on a guy who's not, like, let's talk about PJ Walker. What made you invest in Walker?
You know, I think this was right after kind of the XFL, you know, had, like I said, this was like right before or right after COVID had happened. And so, you know, he was getting a lot of hype from the XFL coming into Carolina to be the backup to Teddy Bridgewater. So, you know, when you get to 31 rounds of drafting, I was just going upside, and I knew I had, you know, I just kind of wanted to take as many dart throws as at quarterback as I could. That's why I took, you know, a Walker, a Rosen, a Luck, just in case. I mean, I'm pretty sure those were in the late 20s when I took those guys. And, you know, if, hey, one of them's a starter, then that can really help out my team, where I can move it for something I might need in the future.
I know everybody seems to be very bullish on Teddy there in Carolina, but, man, PJ Walker was dynamic. Now, if he was an NFL quarterback, he would have been in the NFL, not the XFL. But he is someone that I, too, have picked up in a lot of leagues just because he has that previous connection with Matt Rhule. And I think he really fits that Joe Brady offense more than Teddy Bridgewater. But we'll see. For now, he's just a nice flyer. And then Cam. I think Cam is just going to have to be the guy that you just sit on and wait. And maybe he gives you a window to where you can use him a little bit. I've used this before. I'll use it again right now. 49 different quarterbacks started at least one game in the NFL last year. And I think Cam's doing the right thing. He's just going to lay back, wait and see what happens. He's the perfect fill-in if a Josh Allen, a Lamar Jackson, not a perfect fill-in for what Patrick Mahomes does, but any of those mobile quarterbacks, man, he is going to have his pick of the job. He's obviously staying in shape. He looks okay out there. So from a quarterback position, you're good, not great. I love Stafford. I like the upside of Herbert. He's been one of my guys all offseason. Breeze is going to give you a short window. So you need to get lucky a little bit, or you need to be able to trade for a future QB. Running backs, man, you got Alvin Kamara, one of my personal favorites, Jonathan Taylor, Leonard Fournette, another personal rookie favorite, and Keyshawn Vaughn. Rex Burkhead, Ronald Jones, I do like the fact that you have Rojo and Vaughn. Whoever ends up winning that job, at least you have another starter to... I think you'll start the season with Fournette and Alvin Kamara and wind up working JTN probably around October. And then you got a guy that's the old mystery bag. That's Darius Geis. So tell me a little bit about this running back room. Who do you see helping you this year? And then who do you think you'll be moving off of in the not too distant future?
Yeah. So Kamara, I'm in love with Kamara now. Kind of anywhere that I can. A lot of people are kind of poo-pooing his end of the year, but he and Saquon, I feel like, came back too early from their high ankle sprains, and it kind of showed in their play until the last couple weeks. I think Kamara had like 4 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks that he played. So I really like building around. I just like building around that one stud running back. And then Jonathan Taylor is my 101 over Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Who I actually accidentally picked during the rookie draft at 102. I was contemplating between him and Burrow and meant to put him on my watch list, but I just drafted him and didn't mean to do that, but everyone just kind of moved on. So I was like, oh, well, I'll just stick with JT because I was contemplating Burrow there. But I don't think I regret it anymore. And then Fournette, I was nervous. This was my first share of Leonard Fournette, and this was before all the rumors started swirling of him wanting to be traded. And I know there's a lot of kind of negative press out there about his work ethic and things like that. But if he didn't get his fifth year option picked up, so I imagine he's a little ticked off about that. And especially with rumors of him possibly being moved and the fact that he wasn't, he's probably a little ticked off about that too. So if he doesn't have the motivation to be in the best shape of his life to prepare for free agency this year, then I don't know. He's someone, if he doesn't do it again or something close to it, or if not better this year, then he's someone I'll definitely be fire selling at the end of the year. And then just Keyshawn Vaughn, I reached way too high on Vaughn. We had the rookie draft like right after the NFL draft, and I was at, I want to say it was 109, and I took Vaughn over CeeDee Lamb, which I regretted as soon as I made it. I think I tried to just justify it because I had Ronald Jones on this team too, and I like to put as many running backs and as many, you know, high volume running backs as I can in those extra flex spots. And so I thought, well, I have the Tampa Bay backfield. One of them's got to do it. So let me grab Vaughn here. But I think it was a mistake as I really could have, you know, shored up my wide receiver room a lot better there instead of going Vaughn. But and Darius Geis is just the one hill that I'm just ready to die on in some leagues. I probably got him in 4 or 5 of my leagues. And if he hits, it's going to be amazing and awesome. And if he doesn't, in a lot of those leagues, I can kind of afford it. But he's a guy with superior, like, extreme talent, work ethic, and I think he's just had a Keenan Allen kind of run of just bizarre injuries, even though they date back quite a bit. I can't get off his talent, his work ethic. And if you follow him on like social media, he's just a really good dude, and he just loves the game of football. So someone that's easy to root for as well.
No, I like the way that you worded just about every single bit of that. So Fournette, I've always been told that hungry dogs, hunt harder, work harder. And this is a guy who's playing for his next contract. I mean, this is, if his pride, if his ego is not dented or hurt in the slightest, then you'll know it. I said last year going into camp, if Leonard Fournette shows up, I don't know, I'd say 225, man, that's the Leonard Fournette you want. And sure enough, he did. All of his guaranteed money going into last year was voided because of the suspension the year before. And he came in in great shape, and he balled out. But, yeah. It's going to be very much the same this year. He has to prove that he's worthy of a second contract. I don't think he's going to get that in Jacksonville. But I do like the player in general. And the Vaughn pick, first of all, I give you kudos. A, you had a plan. And you realized right away it wasn't, the right move. But you know what? It was the win now move. I don't know that CeeDee Lamb was going to help you win now. Having the guaranteed production out of a very good backfield is short-sighted. It's not the long-term play like CeeDee Lamb would, but your goal is to win this thing. You're trying to win a championship, and it's a really good team. And these teams, I think you're going to see a very run-heavy NFL in this first few weeks of the season. So having a guy like Leonard Fournette, if you're Jacksonville, why wouldn't you run Leonard Fournette into the ground? I mean, you're not going to keep him. It's like a rental car. Everybody treats the rental car like crap for the most part. Guys like Leonard Fournette, James Conner's another guy who's on the last year of his rookie deal, Marlon Mack. You just drive it into the ground. You drive a little faster. You brake a little harder. Just how it is. So at least you're going to get off to a hot start with these guys. And then you do have a guy that I'm very intrigued about in Joshua Kelly. I think he's the most likely to fill the Melvin Gordon role there with the Chargers. I actually like him a lot. Now, his ADP in rookie drafts has gotten, especially in super flex leagues, it's gotten a little bananas. I've seen him as high as like the 210, which feels a shade too high for me. But do you like Josh Kelly? Obviously, you did. You took him.
Yeah, I do like Josh Kelly. I don't want to say like a podfather truther, but I listen to the Podfather pretty frequently, and he was really high on Josh Kelly's coming out of the Senior Bowl, and so he was someone I was looking at, especially with the landing spot. And yeah, just like you said, I think he can be better than Justin Jackson. He was good enough to get drafted by the Chargers where he was. So obviously he's got something to prove too as a rookie, but I think he can definitely go in there and take that role if he puts the effort towards it.
Me and the Podfather, we see Mr. Kelly a lot alike. I think he's going to go in. Out of the three running backs on that roster that I really like, there's obviously Justin Jackson and Austin Eckler. Those two are more of the same to me. And then you got Joshua Kelly. If anyone's more Melvin Gordon like of those three, it's him. And this is a team that's going to be, still wanting to run the ball. They featured the run a lot last year, and the passing volume may not be the same to the running backs, but the rush volume will still be there. So you've got a solid, deep bench of running backs. Let's get into this wide receiver room. Another Podfather favorite, if you will, Chris Godwin, DJ Chark, and then a guy I don't necessarily love, but I think he'll be a good one-year pit stop type guy, Emmanuel Sanders. Albert Wilson, Corey Davis, Sammy Watkins, Alshon Jeffrey, Alan Lazard, John Ross. Now, if this was a best ball team, I would be thrilled to know that you had John Ross on here. And then rookie Brandon Ayuk. Tell me about your wide receiver room, man. What do you like? What are your concerns? Let's talk about it.
Yeah, so I love Chris Godwin. I don't think I need to really explain myself there. I think having Tom Brady there is going to be just as good, if not better, with what he had going with Jameis Winston there. So I'm pretty excited to have him on a majority of my squads. DJ Chark, I think, is one of the more underrated number ones of the Jaguars, who, you know, people say this offense is going to be so much worse. Well, that defense is almost hot garbage at this point. They traded, you know, Bouye to my Broncos, which I was excited about as a Broncos fan and as a fantasy fan, because when your defense is hemorrhaging points to the other team, you got to get back and pass more. And I really like the new offensive coordinator there, you know, coming over from Washington. I think he's going to have an opportunity to really thrive in that number one receiver role. I didn't even realize, you know, at the time that, oh, having Chark and Fournette together on an offense that not a whole lot of people are excited about. But I think where I got them in the draft was really good value. And Emmanuel Sanders, and this is just kind of a personal thing. I'm a Broncos fan, but I also had an opportunity to meet Emmanuel Sanders. I came back from a deployment about 4 years ago, and he invited me. I was at Fort Carson in Colorado, and he invited me to his show that they do on the local network there. And he's the nicest guy I've probably ever met. I met him and the Marcus Ware, just both upstanding guys. But Emmanuel Sanders also on the field. When people change teams in the middle of the season, I don't think we've seen anyone really have any kind of success on their new teams when they're traded midseason, except Emmanuel Sanders did last year. He kind of, I don't want to say he took over that number one, but I remember a lot of weeks where he was scoring 15 or 20 points a week, and I think he can be that legit number two for Drew Brees. And, you know, to have that quasi stack with Brees and Sanders is good. And he's also someone that, you know, doesn't have to be my number one. He can be my number three if needed. And then John Ross is one sleeper that I really liked until T. Higgins was drafted there, because I thought he was kind of underrated for what he did last year. If you look at his box scores before he got injured, he was lighting it up. And he was having some really good games. And I think I ended up looking at it, and he missed like three more games, I think, than Juju, but he scored like seven less points than him or something like that. And I shared this in a league, and they're like, oh, there you go, Casper, saying, you know, Ross is better than Juju. And I was like, no, obviously that's not what I'm trying to say, but I think he's really got a chance, and he's kind of the same kind of person that needs to prove himself. And then when you think about the offense that Joe Burrow probably wants to run, like he did at LSU, where he's got outlets. He doesn't want tight ends into block. And, you know, CJ Uzomah is the starting tight end, or Drew Sample for the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't think Drew's going to want that. So I don't think it's out of, you know, the scope of reasonable, you know, possibilities that they don't run four wide a lot there in Cincinnati. And I think it'll give John Ross some good, you know, big playability. And then the other guys down my rosters were just kind of dart throws. Like, same thing with Sammy Watkins. I feel like him and Ross are kind of similar. And then, you know, Corey Davis, he can be my wide receiver eight. And if he figures it out, or if he can be moved into the slot and maybe get some production there, then I'll be happy to live with that. That was a hill I did die on, because I was a Corey Davis truther since I started Dynasty like 3 years ago.
Well, we're going to start with Corey Davis. You know, obviously as a truther, you're not going to give him up, but I'll just tell you to continue to hold. You know, what's that? I think it's Braveheart, where he's like, hold. We're just going to hold Corey Davis, because what's going to happen is he's going to be a free agent in March, and he's going to wind up on a team. Maybe it's Green Bay. I don't know, another team that's really wide receiver depleted right now. Maybe Miami. Who knows? He could, maybe New England. New England's wide receiver room's a dumpster fire. But he's going to wind up on a new team. And even if you didn't love him the way that you do, you would have an opportunity to sell him around that time. I want to talk about John Ross for a second. Now, you mentioned John Ross. Do you know where Cincinnati finished in pass attempts last year as a team?
I imagine it was top of the league.
It was sixth. I would have to. 600.
Yeah, they were down so much.
Yeah, 616 pass attempts. But do you know where they finished in total passing yards? So they were sixth, right? So where do you think they finished in passing yards? If you're sixth, okay.
I mean, you would think in the top 10, but I know a lot of that went to Mixon too. So I would guess in the middle.
almost dead in the middle. They were 17th. So the six most attempts, the 17 most yards. Okay, what about touchdowns? Where do you think they finished in touchdowns? Right, they had 616 attempts. Right.
Yeah, I remember it wasn't Driscoll. Driscoll wasn't there, but I'm trying Finley.
Yeah, Ryan Finley.
Those games were awful to watch. So I would have to guess they were in the 20s and passing touchdowns.
No, they were 31st in the league. They had 18.
Oh, wow.
18 touchdowns. So what I glean from those stats is that Zach Taylor, the head coach who came over from from LA Rams with Sean McVay to Cincinnati, is he wants to throw the ball. And now he's got a very accurate quarterback, not a great deep ball, but an accurate passer. Cincinnati ran 76 or the most percentage, 76% of their snaps last year came out of three wide receiver formations. So wow. The one thing is that the rest of the wide receivers, now obviously Tyler Boyd's a slot guy, but I see T. Higgins, A.J. Green, and Auden Tate as all kind of the same guy, that big body, rebound. Like, you know, if you're building a basketball team, you know, one would be your center, one would be your power forward. Man, where's your speed? Where's your pull the top off the defense guy? I like John Ross. He kind of fell into that, hey, you're a rookie, so I don't say we're going to punish you, but, you know, he did not do a bunch as his career has not really taken off. But when he's been on the field, he's been productive, but we're spending way too much time on a guy like John Ross. The other guy that you have that I have a lot of intrigue around, and that's Alan Lazard. Do you think Alan Lazard has the tools to win that job?
I do think he does, especially when Rodgers, you know, comes out and says how impressed he was with Lazard last season. I think he can win it. I think, you know, Devin Funchess isn't the answer there. He's going to be their tight end if Sternberger can't get it. But I do think it's interesting. I was listening to, I want to say it was around the NFL. I listened to not just fantasy podcasts, but just NFL podcasts in general too. And someone was talking about how when the season was over and Jay Sternberger was doing his out interviews with the coaches, they talked to him about, you know, possibly playing some more in the slot next year, which Sternberger saw almost no snaps last year. So if he gets that opportunity, that would be interesting. But I also think with, you know, the departure of Geronimo Allison, I think Lazard has the tools and has the trust of Rodgers to be that number two. But in that same breath, in a dynasty sense, I don't think Rodgers is going to be there next year, to be completely honest. I'm in the camp that if Drew Lock doesn't work out, John Elway is going to try to trade for him next offseason, but we don't need to talk about that. And so in that case, I don't think there's, but outside of this year, I don't think Lazard is kind of a long-term starter or someone that could really ascend into a, you know, low-end wide receiver too, kind of moving forward even after this year, despite not having much competition around him.
So I'm gonna give you some good news on Alan Lazard. So in 2018, when Mike McCarthy was still the head coach, Green Bay ran three wide receiver sets 77% of the time. Last year under Matt LaFleur, they ran three wide receiver sets 60% of the time. That was a huge drop off, but I see Alan Lazard being that every down guy who's on the field with Devontae Adams. It's going to be Adams and Lazard. They'll mix in guys like St. Brown, Jay Sternberger may detach and you know, play some out of the slot, like you said. But Jay Sternberger and Lazard are going to be on the field a lot. He's the kind of guy that if he gets off to a hot start, think of a few years ago when MVS, Valdez-Scantling. If this guy gives you any kind of a sell window, sell him. To your point, Aaron Rodgers, if he's willing to move his cap number and his bonus payout in the 2020 offseason, they'll be able to afford to trade him next year and eat a much more manageable cap number. Again, we're not going to get into that, but you'll have some guys that'll have some appeal in dynasty circles as soon as training camp. Let's get to what I would consider. Oh, and you do have Brandon Ayuk. I like Ayuk. I just don't think he's going to contribute much as a rookie. So he'll be a wait and see guy. Let's talk about this tight end room, because I've got some interest here. You've got Ian Thomas taking over for Greg Olsen there in Carolina with Teddy Two Gloves Bridgewater. You got Dan Arnold, who is now in the desert of Arizona, and then Big Irv Smith Jr. there in the Twin Cities, as well as Jacob Hollister. Tell me about this tight end room. You're very young, a little unproven, but lots of upside.
Yeah, this is kind of the one area where I am kind of nervous for this year alone, because I don't have, you know, that proven talent. And it's kind of the cliche of too many mouths to feed, especially with Ian Thomas when you got DJ Moore there. They brought in Robbie Anderson. But I think Thomas has the tools to really just take over. And, you know, Teddy doesn't like to – I mean, the – most of the fantasy community believes Teddy doesn't like to throw it down the field. So having that safety blanket in Ian Thomas close to the line of scrimmage, I think can be really good for him. And then the same thing for Irv Smith Jr. I liked it when Diggs was traded. Obviously Minnesota had to draft someone. So they drafted, the other, slot receiver in Justin Jefferson to go with Adam Thielen. So I think his opportunities are going to be there, but I'm just nervous because I know, Minnesota's not this high flying passing offense. At the same time, I think Kirk Cousins is very capable to make it passing if he needs to, as he kind of, proved in the playoffs and down the stretch last year. And that defense by my count has gotten somewhat worse with quite a few departures on the defensive side of the ball. So, Kirk might have to be throwing it more. And I think Irv, there were a lot of these tight ends. It's the Irv Smith, the Jonnu Smith, Ian Thomas, Blake Jarwin, a lot of guys that really, if the situations are right and if they really get the trust of their quarterback, I feel like can vault up into, the top 5 to 10, tight ends moving forward. But I don't have great depth there, and I don't really have a sure thing. And so it makes me kind of nervous with it being a, 1.5 tight end premium here.
One thing I'm going to give you right away to go do, this is a firm move that I feel very comfortable suggesting. I think you try to take your 2021 third. You could even maybe start with a third and offer. Go try to get Greg Olsen. Go try to get Greg Olsen on the cheap. Veteran. Savvy player with a quarterback who loves a tight end. We saw Jimmy Graham resurrect his career for a couple of years with Russell Wilson in Seattle. We saw guys like Will Disley and Jacob Hollister. They were starting to look like stars. Neither one of those guys are a star, but they were starting to look like stars at the tight end position with Russell Wilson. And I think it may be a one-year rental, a lease, if you will. But, man, if you can go out and get yourself a cheap Greg Olsen share just to – and the reason why I like Greg Olsen for this lineup is that you're very invested in this year. And having a guy like Greg Olsen to start the season – because, when you're playing the season, you want to win, three of the first five, in head-to-head leagues. That's really a good pitch. And a lot of times you're going to be guessing, do I want to play Ian Thomas or do I want to play Irv? And it will be it will be maddening at times in this format because you won't have any, ESPN does a good job of telling you, the positional ranks when your tight ends face in a team, your wide receiver. Hey, they're facing, the top 30 defense or
against tight ends. Yeah.
Yeah. So without something like that going on, I would not mind having a cheap veteran like a Greg Olsen just to kind of, help you get by. And also, if you're looking to get some young guys, these guys may not be owned, but Caden Smith, the backup to Evan Engram in New York, is someone I like. And someone earlier asked on Twitter, they said, who is a player that they can maybe find on waiver wire that might have an impact as early as this year? And I put down Jaden Graham. Backup tight end for the Atlanta Falcons,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, because what happens if Hayden Hurst remembers he's still Hayden Hurst?
And he's old.
Well, he feels old because he's 27, but I know athletically, I saw someone post on Twitter the other day that he and Austin Hooper are very much the same athletically from like a player metrics on the player profiler page. But that doesn't that doesn't mean anything. And I don't think you're going to get him cheap. But I think you can get Greg Olsen cheap. You may even be able to get Greg Olsen in a fourth for your third. And that's the kind of deal I would be looking to make, knowing that I'm going to use him for 1 year and probably lose him. But that's a move you can make. Also on your bench, you have the new H-back slash tight end in Green Bay, DeGuara. And that's your team, man. So I wrote out your starting lineup as I see it. You'll be starting Breeze at your 1 QB, Alvin Kamara and Leonard Fournette as your two starting running backs, Godwin, Chark, and as your two starting wide receivers. Ian Thomas for now would be the starting tight end that I would use. I just see a lot more 11 or 3 wide receiver personnel to start the season, and I trust the volume that I think Carolina. You talked about a bad defense, mister. That defense in Carolina is going to be rough with all those rookies, so they're going to be behind. Obviously, Stafford's going to be your super flex. I think you're running Emmanuel Sanders out there as one of your three flex options. Geis will be healthy to start the season. Presumably, you have to run him out there. And even though it's a gamble, I think you'll just be playing matchups with that 10th and final roster spot, that third flex. Maybe early in the season, you know, you're gonna, you know, give Lazard a try. Or hey, maybe after 1 week you decide that hey, JT's getting enough volume that I can run him out there. But you're certainly deep enough, and you never want to have to fade an injury. But you've got some insurance out there in case, you know, if something happened to Vaughn or Rojo. Now you've got a monster on your hands because one guy's gonna pick up a lot of work.
Yeah.
So overall, I like your roster. Some moves I would make again. I'm not afraid to only have two starting quarterbacks on my team if neither one of them are like the super mobile type, like a Lamar Jackson, like a Josh Allen. Stafford and Breeze, those dudes aren't and shouldn't be running the ball. Drew, Matt, I know you guys listen. Don't run the ball. You're brittle. It's bad for all of us, including you guys. Those injuries hurt more the older you get. But I would not be opposed to just, you know, kicking tires on the Wentz owner. Hey, I'll give you Breeze and Herbert for Wentz. I think in the short term, it's a somewhat of a break even. Maybe you'll lose a point or two a game, but long term, you would have a much longer term starter, and just feel that guy out. Especially if the Wentz owner you mentioned, a lot of these guys in the Devy, I don't want to say they're punting 2020, but they might be doing what's referred to as the productive struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of veteran QBs we talked about before we hit the record button, whose contracts are virtually guaranteed, Big Ben and Tom Brady. Those are two of your options, man. I like Phillip Rivers if you can get Phillip Rivers cheap, because he's going to be playing in a dome nine games this year, and he's got good weapons there in Indy. So I wouldn't be afraid to try and turn two into one if you have a youth chaser out there. Your running backs, I don't think I would do a whole lot unless you get really struck by the injury bug. I think you're cool, man. You got two guys that I think are going to be great off the jump in Kamara and Fournette. And I think a guy that, you remember last year how Miles Sanders came on late from like mid-October all the way through the end?
Yeah, I think that's JT this year. I hope so.
All day long. In that offense, obviously you got a couple of studs at wide receiver and Godwin and Chark. Godwin was the wide receiver one overall in fantasy until he got hurt. Still managed to have, I think it was a top 5 or 6 PPR wide receiver season last year in spite of missing 2.5 games. Chark's on the rise, even with Gardner Minshew. One thing I like about Chark, spoiler alert, Gardner Minshew fans, he's merely a placeholder. This team is going to be bad, super bad. And if you go back and look at his QBR by game over the last 6 games that he played, he had one that was an 8. To put that in perspective, an average game for a quarterback using a QBR is 52 on a scale of 0 to 100. He had a game that was an 8 and I believe a game that was a 14. As defensive coordinators got more tape on the guy, the worse he looked. You can almost pencil in Trevor Lawrence as a Jaguar in 2020 21, and that'll be even better for your DJ chart share. So, and then the Corey Davis, Alan Lazard, they're going to give you some things. And then John Ross, maybe he can develop. I wouldn't get too crazy. I mean, you're set. The two big moves I would make would be looking to maybe break even in a points per game basis as your QB, you know, with Breeze, and maybe get a little younger at the same time. And just go out and get you that bridge guy. The term in Dynasty often uses a bridge guy. Who can be that guy that's the bridge from 2020 to 2021 and give you 4, 5, 6 games to see how Irv Smith and Ian Thomas develop? I love your taxi, man. Justin Herbert, if you end up keeping him, he's going to be working with great weapons. Brandon Ayuk in one of the emerging offenses in the NFL in San Francisco. Jalen Hurts, again, he wouldn't be on my roster unless I owned Wentz, and I would be out kicking tires on that Wentz owner, especially if he fancies himself, or she, if they fancy themselves a contender. I'm selling you insurance. You know, a line that I like to throw at people is like, you know, if you had something really expensive like a house, a car, a motorcycle, would you buy insurance? Well, then why wouldn't you buy insurance for your QB in a super flex league? Because I'll hook you up cheap. And then Josh Kelly, man. And then you got all your 2021 picks for now. We're going to go try and buy some cheap Greg Olson for this roster. But all in all, man, I think you should feel pretty good.
Yeah, I guess one thing with the picks is that's the thing, is I kind of don't know how to value them because they're like Devy rookie picks, and you know, 100 Devy players have already been picked. So it's not like a true, you know, 2021 third in a, you know, just NFL roster dynasty league. It's like the second half of these Devy players. So the top 100 Devy players have already been picked. So, you know, how much is that pick actually worth? And I honestly have no idea. That's why I haven't moved any of them yet. It's a dynamic I haven't really dealt with before, since it's my first Devy league.
Sure. There's always going to be the new hotness, as I like to, you know, I like to call it. You know, I have heard about guys like Rondell Moore for 2 years. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence. I think people are starting to talk about Trevor Lawrence as not being the QB1 just out of, you know, QB fatigue. But there's always guys. I can tell you, in my one Devy league this year, top of my head in the first round, there were guys like Joe Burrow. There were guys like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Justin Jefferson, Brandon Ayuk. There were plenty of guys.
Oh, wow.
And this is as Devy a depleted league as you will see. Yeah. I mean, these guys are drafting people out of high school. I mean, these guys haven't even played a college down yet. And I don't, wow. I don't mind that. I mean, I always want to have 1 to 2, 3. I like to have out of my 5 taxi spot, because we actually happen to have the same number of taxis in that Devy league. I like to have 2 or 3 solid Devys for the years to come. Guys that I you know, they don't have the sizzle. A lot of people get caught up in the sizzle. But I want to continue to feed that pipeline. People in Devy leagues love picks. They love it. You will be surprised. And it's all, and again, the big thing that I can give you is just, you know, you're looking for some tips. When you're looking to make trades in any league, but especially a Devy league, you got to put on your salesman cap. If you just send a cold call with, hey, man, I'll give you this third for Greg Olson, you've got to have spotted that guy's roster. You know, try to put yourself in his or her shoes. Hey, what's this owner going to do? Are they rebuilding? Do they think they're contending? Why the hell do they have Greg Olson? You know, and they say, hey, man, I noticed you have kind of a younger-ish roster. I was looking at Greg Olson. You know, you can get a nice Devy with him, you know, with a third-round pick. Why don't you give me Greg Olson for that third? I try to never move my first or second in a Devy league. Because a lot of times because people love the new hotness. You talked about Corey Davis. People just fall in love with college players. It's cool, man. You know, maybe they're an Alabama guy. They've rooted for the Tide forever or whatever. I can't get in the head of those people because I don't do it. I'll just tell you what I see on the periphery, on the surface level. And I mean, if you see a rookie that slightly disappoints this year, and I think there's a handful of them set up poised to disappoint this year. If you want to know who those are, tune into the Dynasty Warzone. We'll be covering those in a couple of weeks on a future episode. But there are going to be rookies this year that disappoint, and you can buy those guys off at a discount this time next year. So that's how I keep my Devy, my one Devi roster young. I've been in this league. I picked it up as an orphan, and that's how I churn young talent. Like, you know, guys that everybody else is ready to give up on, I'll take them. I'll take them. You know, like a guy like John Ross in that league, you could probably get for a third. And I like John Ross. I would rather have a shot on John Ross, who I've seen have like, a, what was it, a 7 or a 10 touchdown season in the NFL? I would much rather have him than some sophomore who may never play a down in the NFL.
I'm a sixth round pick or who knows.
Really. Yeah. I mean, it's funny how that works. A couple of years ago, a guy named Hakeem Butler was,
a lot of people's number one.
was very hot, and today he's not worth a popcorn fart. So all in all, man, I think you got a good roster. I think you have a good solid plan. And guys, the one thing I want to give Mike a pat on the back and remind you, have a plan. Be introspective. Take a look back at what you've done. You heard the man say, hey, I didn't love the fact that I took Vaughn over CeeDee Lamb. But you know what? He had a plan. He looked back at it. Hey, I won't make that mistake again. And all in all, man, I'm really glad you came on and spent a little bit of time with me.
Yeah, no, this was a lot of fun, a long time coming. And I love talking roster builds. And this has been a lot of fun. So I really appreciate you inviting me on.
No problem, man. I look forward to continuing to hear how this thing goes. What kind of trade? You said you're a tradeaholic. I would be looking at that QB and that tight end position. But again, on behalf of Mike, I am Memphis. And remember, the roster you have today isn't a life sentence. We can change it. We can fix it. And we'll see you back here next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Folks, Kyle here. I'm a physical therapist and a fantasy football junkie. I've been doing Dynasty for a year, and I joined the Dynasty Warzone Patreon about 6 months ago. And never have I felt more comfortable with having Memphis, Jerry, and the guys in the Patreon chat help me with buys, sells, and navigating free agency and rookie draft. I can't recommend them enough. And so join the Patreon, because if you ain't first, you're last.